Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
School of Humans. On May 21st, 2023, Dr. John Forsyth, a 49-year-old ER doctor, was due to work the evening shift at Mercy Hospital in Cassville, Missouri. John had already worked the overnight shift the day before and finished up at 7 a.m. After that, he went to crash for a few hours before starting his next shift that night, 12 hours later. This was a normal day for John. He had a habit of pulling long shifts and working between 80 and 100 hours per week. But John never showed up for work that night, and it wasn't long before his family and colleagues realized he had disappeared. Dr. John Forsyth was a hard-working, well-respected doctor and a father of 8 children. But he also had a complicated personal life, one that he kept compartmentalized, one that involved an expensive divorce, a new fiancé, and a crypto company he had co-founded with his brother Richard that had been involved in some questionable dealings. What happened to Dr. John Forsyth? Was he kidnapped by someone with bad intentions? Did he walk away on his own? Could he have been living a double life and been lured out and murdered by one of his enemies? I'm Katherine Townsend. Over the past 5 years of making my true crime podcast, Hell and Gone, I've learned that there's no such thing as a small town where murder never happens. I have received hundreds of messages from people all around the country asking for help with an unsolved murder that's affected them, their families, and their communities. If you have a case you'd like me and my team to look into, you can reach out to us at our Hell and Gone murder line at 678-744-6145. That's 678-744-6145. This is Hell and Gone Murderline. Now, early media reports said the last time that John was heard from was on May 21st, 2023. After his shift at the emergency room at Mercy Hospital in Cassville, Missouri, he went back to his luxury RV trailer. He kept the trailer parked outside the hospital when he was working back-to-back shifts and needed to sleep in between them. As we said before, he went to get some rest before his second shift that started that night. John was divorced and was in a serious relationship with his girlfriend. According to a family member, John sent some text messages to his girlfriend, who was a nurse, saying that he would see her later. Now, it doesn't say in media reports whether his girlfriend worked at the same hospital as he did or not, but either way, he did appear to have plans to see her. When he didn't arrive for his shift and never called, his colleagues were immediately alarmed because John was very dependable. This was not the type of guy to not show up for a shift. In fact, it had never happened in his 15 years on the job. He had never just not shown up and not called. He had never even, according to his family, taken a sick day. His colleagues at the hospital reported him missing, and by the next day, Monday, his entire family, the community, the sheriff's department, and some other agencies, including the highway patrol, were looking for John. They searched an area that spanned several miles. They brought in drones, they brought in canine dogs, but they found no sign of John Forsythe. Now, because his personal life was complicated, which we'll get into in a minute, of course, law enforcement has to consider the possibility that John might have gone missing voluntarily. And at first, it didn't seem like police thought that John had been taken against his will or been the victim of foul play. They didn't find any obvious signs of foul play. John's family seemed like they weren't sure what to think. On the one hand, they said there was no apparent reason for John to go missing. He'd had some stresses in his life, but he was dealing well with them. But on the other hand, John did have a reputation as kind of this eccentric genius. His brother, Niall Forsythe, said that John had been, and this was the way that Niall put it, always looking for adventure. As I said, in addition to being a doctor, John ran a cryptocurrency business with his other brother, Richard. The business was called Onfo. John had started mining Bitcoin and Litecoin, another digital currency, back in the very early days, around 2009-2010. He made a big profit off of this, and after a couple of years, he funneled these earnings into building some new businesses. This business, Onfo, appeared to be successful. In 2020, Forbes called John a Bitcoin millionaire. Back to 2023, police are searching for John, and things got even more bizarre once police found his car. This actually happened pretty quickly. There was an area that was fairly near the hospital called the Cassville Aquatic Center that had a public swimming pool. Now, at that location, police were already looking for a missing child. The child, by the way, was eventually found and had nothing to do with John Forsythe, but by coincidence, this child had gone missing from the same general area. Police knew the aquatic center was the last place that this child had been seen. So, by the time John went missing, they were already looking at that parking lot, going through all of the security camera footage, trying to see license plates, and basically trying to ID every single car in that parking lot any way that they could. They saw one vehicle that looked like it could be John's car, a black Infiniti. Apparently, they looked at the video and saw that this black car came into the parking lot and then didn't ever leave. So, police went to that location and they found the car, parked in a back area behind a dumpster. And they did verify that this was John's car. John's car was unlocked. When police opened it, they found John's keys, his passport, his wallet, a cracked cell phone, and a laptop, all left pretty much untouched inside that car. Back at John's RV, police found two more phones. Apparently, John had three phones in all. Some people online have made comments about this being a little odd, like several phones meant that he had some kind of a double life, but honestly, I don't find that strange. We know that one screen was cracked, which means that John might have only had two phones that were functional. And a lot of people, including doctors, often have more than one phone if they're on call. He also had that crypto side business. But the fact that his valuable stuff and his passport were left behind caused the local rumor mill to go into overdrive, and again caused people to wonder if this was someone who, voluntarily or not, had made a decision to walk away from his life. Police said publicly they did not immediately suspect foul play, and what they said was basically the reason they felt this way was because there were no signs of violence. No signs of a struggle either in the car or in the RV. No obvious blood. And again, this was a grown man with a complicated personal life. He had just gone through a divorce, and in the past, he had been known to have some secrets. Donald Privett, the interim police chief at the Cassville Police Department, told the media, quote, "There are numerous things to look for foul play. Items discarded inappropriately, property damage to the vehicle, to the residence, different types of scuff marks on the ground, signs of bodily fluids, blood. There was none, none of that," end quote. Apparently, police canine dogs did alert in one spot close to John's car, but police found nothing there. And remember, the police did look at the surveillance cameras from that parking lot. But there has been conflicting information as to what exactly they saw in those tapes. John's brother, Richard Forsyth, started talking to the media fairly soon after his brother disappeared. At first, Richard told journalists that the security cameras did show John on that footage. Richard said the camera had captured John walking away from his car and appearing to get into another car. Richard told the Daily Beast, quote, "It leaves a few minutes later, and John is seen walking around maybe 10 to 15 minutes after that. And then he walks away from his car," end quote. Richard later seemed to be a little more specific with reporters. He said the camera footage had showed John parked his car there and that a few minutes later, a white SUV drove into that parking lot and that the SUV left shortly after that. But it turned out that John had never been seen getting into a car at all. Later, law enforcement said something different to Richard. They said the video had been very bad quality. It was super blurry. So the black car they saw on video was basically a black blur. It could not even definitively be proven to be John's car. Police thought it was because of the timing and because the car was found there later, but this was not proof. Remember, Richard had said that John could be seen on video walking around. But later, police said there was no definite footage of John Forsyth in that parking lot, and there was absolutely no proof that John Forsyth left the scene in that white SUV or in any other car. All that police had was this black blur. They said that they saw a car pull in at 712, the one that they thought might be John's car, and they never saw it leave. They did not see that they had seen John get out of that car. Of course, anytime someone goes missing, there is a lot of public attention on their lives. And if they have any secrets, they often become public. Richard revealed something else. He said shortly after John went missing, Richard was contacted by a mutual acquaintance of theirs who had a story about John going through a life-threatening situation the year before. Now, apparently, according to Richard, John had told his friend he had been kidnapped in 2022. John apparently told the friend he had been bound with zip ties, blackmailed, taken to a bridge, and threatened. I guess he eventually paid the money or came to some sort of resolution with these alleged kidnappers and was returned unharmed. But Richard said that John never reported anything to the police. So this fueled the theory that John could have been kidnapped by business associates, or maybe that his life had been threatened and he had to leave for some reason. Referring to the kidnapping, Richard also said, quote, "It should be said that he was kidnapped in 2022, and that was crypto-related. A lot of people are connecting that dot with recent events," end quote. Richard had no real details about the alleged kidnappers, except to say that they had had Eastern European accents. He did say, however, he didn't necessarily believe that John's previous kidnappers were responsible for his disappearance. He didn't believe they would have been motivated to come all the way to Missouri to kidnap him again. I have a lot of questions about this story. First of all, I'm wondering, who was this friend who talked about the kidnapping? Who was the source of this story? Because the only person we're hearing this from was Richard. I have questions about the alleged kidnapping because, to be honest, it sounds like it could be a made-up story. It did seem like some of John's friends and family considered the possibility that John could have come up with a way to disappear for a while. I can't blame them for hoping that that might happen, that John might resurface. John's sister Tiffany wrote a post on the Facebook page in memory of Dr. John Forsyth. It read, quote, "I think Johnny was a bit of an anti-hero, mischievous, flawed in many ways, but kinder and more generous than some might give him credit for. He was fond of hyperbole, effusive in his praise of other people, and a natural storyteller with a comedian's sense of timing. He could bring a whole room to tears with laughter. His persona was a contradictory mix of easygoing charm and sharp, focused intensity. Unflinchingly outspoken, but hard to really know, end quote. So this picture was emerging of John as this person who was super smart, but also somewhat mysterious. A lot of people, including former patients, posted nice things about John. They said how much John had helped them and helped their children, how caring he was with his patients, and how kind he was. His sister Gina thought maybe he had wanted to leave, maybe bail out for a few weeks to hide from something. She said, quote, "He is the smartest person I know. He planned something. It's going to be this Mission Impossible escape plan. He's going to come back and everything is going to be okay," end quote. But if John did plan this, he seemed to take nothing with him. If he had left town, it seemed like he did it with no money and no activity on his credit cards. But we know that he had invested in cryptocurrency. So conceivably, he could have had another source of funds out there that no one knew about, maybe in a digital wallet. This fueled the conspiracy theories and the idea, sometimes the hope, that John might be alive somewhere else living his best life. But that hope did not last long. Because on May 30th, 2023, two kayakers were paddling through Beaver Lake on the Arkansas side of the Ozarks when they saw something they thought looked like a dead animal. According to the news station KY3, they started paddling to take a closer look. That's when they realized this was a human body. They called 911. Soon, word got around this was the body of Dr. John Forsyth. Hey, y'all, it's Catherine. As you know from Helen Gone, crime can happen to anyone at any time. When it comes to home security, your best line of defense is your vigilance and preparation. That's why I recommend SimpliSafe Home Security. Obviously, we cannot control everything that happens out there in the world, but when I'm in my own home, I feel very reassured by the fact that I have a home security system. And SimpliSafe is affordable, easy to use, and crucially, it's easy to get started with and then build on later as you need more functionality. They have a huge variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, with no contracts and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/HelenGone. That's simplisafe.com/HelenGone. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Nine days after Dr. John Forsyth went missing, his body was found across the Arkansas border in Beaver Lake. This was about 25 miles away from Cassville, where he disappeared from. Authorities said that the body had sustained a gunshot wound, but they gave no further information about where the bullet hit. They said they were waiting on autopsy results. Now, of course, because there was a body found with a gunshot wound and because of the way that John went missing, this had some people wondering whether there was a chance that John could have taken his own life, especially once Richard revealed that John had been killed by a single gunshot wound to the head. But Richard and the rest of John's family were adamant. They said they could not believe that this had been a suicide. They said, yes, John had been going through a divorce, but they said after a tumultuous time, he was in a good place financially. The divorce was settled. Now that investigators had a body, they started looking even further into John's personal life and his business dealings. John Forsythe was born in 1974. He grew up in a Mormon family. He was one of six children and was close to all of his siblings. John was a good doctor. He went to medical school in Barbados and had been working at Mercy Hospital for 15 years. And as we said, he was well-liked by his patients and his colleagues and the community. According to court records, John did have a wrongful death lawsuit filed against him in 2022. It was later settled. The settlement was confidential, so we don't know exactly how much it was settled for. But this isn't unusual for a doctor. One lawsuit in 15 years is completely normal. First of all, we live in a very litigious country, so anyone can be sued at any time. Secondly, even if lawsuits do have merit, doctors are human, just like anyone else. They do make mistakes. That's actually what malpractice insurance is for. So I don't see anything out of the ordinary in that lawsuit. John met his first wife in high school. They started dating when they were teenagers, and they got married in Nevada in the mid-90s. They had seven children together, and then they filed for divorce in April of 2019. But John and his wife got back together, and they remarried in 2020. Then, in 2022, they started divorce proceedings again in Missouri. In fact, their second divorce had been settled just 10 days before John disappeared. Now, John also has an eighth child with another woman who was not his wife or his girlfriend. It's not clear what the exact timeline was in that relationship, but we know that John and his wife split up for a period of time. Apparently, even with the romantic complications, John was a good father and active in all of his kids' lives. So let's take a closer look at those divorce filings. What was John's net worth? Could the divorce have played any role in his disappearance? In cases like this, we do have to follow the money. According to court documents, the judge valued John's Bitcoin holdings at over $800,000. The judge ordered him to pay a total of $19,000 per month to his ex-wife, $4,000 in child support, $15,000 per month in alimony. It seemed like John and his ex-wife's financial dealings were pretty amicable. Yes, this is a lot of money, but John disclosed his finances to the court and the judge set what they deemed to be an appropriate amount of child support. John's family said that for John, money was not an issue. They said he did not have money worries. And side note here, I come from a family of medical professionals. Almost everyone is a doctor or nurse, including a lot of ER doctors. And some people were questioning John's salary. I will say, ER doctors in these type of communities who work a lot can easily earn between $300,000 and $400,000 a year. And that would have been in addition to any crypto holdings that he had. John's payments to his ex-wife had just started on May 15th of 2023. They were set to continue until John's death or until his ex-wife remarried. Tiffany, John's sister, said that John's main priority above his work, above everything, was being a good father. She said, quote, "Johnny said, that is how I measure men. That is the most important quality that a man can have, is to be a good dad," end quote. After John and his wife divorced for the second time, he started a relationship with someone new, a 39-year-old nurse who referred to John as the love of her life. It turned out that they were actually engaged. John had proposed to his girlfriend just 72 hours before he disappeared. And then there was another bombshell dropped, one that no one in John's family appeared to know. At the time when John went missing, his fiancée was pregnant. A few weeks after John's body was found, John's fiancée gave birth to their child, and they are both reportedly doing well. John's family seemed to be a little bit shocked by the news that John and his girlfriend were engaged and having a baby. But his brother Niall said he believed that John was waiting until the divorce was final, which, as we said, had just happened before introducing his family to his fiancée. John's ex-wife's attorney, Ryan Ricketts, talked to the media. He said John's ex-wife was devastated by what happened to John. Apparently, she lives in Idaho and is keeping her grief private. Even with everything going on in his life, John's family remained convinced that he did not take his own life. Richard Forsyth said that shortly before John went missing, they had had dinner together. He said John showed no signs of distress. In fact, he said John was excited about his life. John had plans to go visit one of his older daughters in Utah the day after he went missing. He had already bought his plane tickets. And John was super excited about his new life with his girlfriend. Richard said that his brother had told him, quote, "I can't wait to introduce her to you. We're going to have a wonderful life together. We're all going to spend a lot of time together," end quote. The news station KY3 and the program Ozark Unsolved has done a lot of investigative work on this case. They did an interview with John's sister, Tiffany, and she told Ozarks Unsolved that John kept parts of his life separate and that he'd always kind of been that way. She said something that I thought was very revealing. She said, quote, "I think that he had buckets that he put stuff in. You know, this is what you get to know about me," end quote. So this case is very strange because you have all these pieces of evidence that seem to conflict with each other. You have the car left in a remote location with John's belongings inside. That makes it seem like someone who may have gone missing voluntarily, which we now know did not happen. Or if he did go missing voluntarily, it appears that something went horribly wrong with his plan, which leaves a couple of possibilities. One, that John left his stuff there, then went to Beaver Lake and took his own life. I think this seems extremely unlikely. First of all, if that was his plan, how did he get there? How did he get to Beaver Lake from that parking lot? Walking there would be next to impossible given that terrain. This is the Ozarks, with a skinny highway that winds through mountains. While it's theoretically possible that he could have waded out into a body of water and shot himself in the head, I think the evidence does not seem to point in that direction. Again, Beaver Lake is several miles away from where John's car was parked. You have to go through single-lane highways through the Ozark Mountains. This is not somewhere where John could have walked. He would have had to walk for hours through some very rough terrain. And also, if he had been walking along that narrow highway with no shoulder, someone would have seen him. Could someone have picked him up in that parking lot? Maybe lured him there, set a meeting with him under false pretenses, then taken him to Beaver Lake and shot him? I think that is possible. Again, the cameras did not see John, but it is possible that he did get out of his car and walk away on his own. I do think that it's possible that John was meeting someone in that parking lot and then he was picked up there. But there's another possibility that I think is slightly more likely, that it was not John who parked the car there at all, but someone else, someone who wanted to stage a scene and make it seem like the parking lot was the last place John had been spotted. So, let's go back a minute and look at what John's friends and family have been telling the media. I'm especially interested again in this supposed kidnapping story. Richard told the local news station KY3 that John had some shady business associates, and he gave more details on the alleged kidnapping. He said, quote, "What we know is that there is an account of a kidnapping. According to this mutual acquaintance, John shows up on a February evening, extremely cold, zip-tied at the wrist, put into a shower to warm up, and tells a tale of being put into a car, some sort of arrangement that he made, and he was released. Those are the essentials of the story that was being told to me," end quote. Again, who is this mutual acquaintance? Was this someone Richard knew, or just someone who happened to show up after John went missing? Have the police talked to this person? Because on the surface, these Eastern European zip-tie kidnappers remind me of the made-up assailants in some other cases, like the Diane Downs case where you had the bushy-haired stranger who supposedly shot her children, or in the Sherry Papini kidnapping case, the two Hispanic assailants. But before I could make a determination on that, we need to find out who this mutual acquaintance is and who they talked to, and if the police have talked to them. As part of this interview with the news station, the reporter asked Richard about his theories, because Richard has been in the crypto business with John. The reporter wanted to know if Richard ever felt that his life was in danger. Richard said that John never made him feel like they should be afraid. But he said, in hindsight, after all this came out about the alleged kidnapping, he thought maybe he should have been scared. Richard said, quote, "He must have a lot of secrets, certainly more than I do. I don't know how he juggled these things. It must have created a lot of pressure for him," end quote. Now, when you say crypto, a lot of people automatically assume that this must be some type of dangerous conspiracy or part of the dark web, but was this crypto stuff really a danger to John's existence? Was it even a real business? Let's take a closer look. So we know John and Richard Forsyth have been partners in a couple of different ventures. They founded what was described as a crypto coin, physical coin hybrid called Alliten. They also had another project at one point called AmbiCard, plus a few other companies. There was a big story about Alliten a few years ago in Vice. The article was called "The Great Physical Bitcoin Robbery." So what John and Richard created was like commemorative coins, but they were backed by Bitcoin. So how it would work is that the customers would buy a certain amount of Bitcoin, and then Alliten would engrave the physical coin with the private key. The key is the code that you need to access the digital wallet to get to your money. So the brothers describe their company as kind of a private mint. So they combined a physical coin with digital currency. They claim that they had a type of proprietary technology that would allow the private key to be printed on the coin, but apparently kept it hidden somehow. I'm not sure how it worked. I'm not a crypto expert, but I do know something went wrong because a bunch of the coins were stolen. At the time, Richard told Vice that he and John believed that it had to be someone close to them who had stolen the coins. He said they would reimburse the customers who had lost some of their Bitcoin. But Richard admitted they were having a problem because between the time when they issued these coins and the time when they were stolen, Bitcoin had gone up dramatically in value. So Richard told their customers that they would give them refunds, but apparently they only offered refunds for a period of a month. This must have made a lot of customers really angry because I'm sure a lot of people lost money there. And afterwards, people had questions like, was there proof that the coins had ever been stolen at all? What exactly went down there? After that business folded, in 2018, John and Richard went into business together again. They created a crypto company that they named Onfo. They called this a network mining venture. So Richard said the way that this worked was that users of Onfo, instead of actually spending money, could earn credits by referring other members to their company. They have a YouTube video posted that basically says, you can't trust the government. You can't trust government-issued currency. Trust our currency. Trust our network.
You're being manipulated and lied to. And you're being robbed. Every day.
But the Associated Press did a story on this. They interviewed an expert who investigates crypto schemes. And this expert said, in their opinion, John and Richard's business resembled a pyramid scheme. From what the expert told the Associated Press, what I'm reading between the lines is that what John and Richard were doing sounds like a classic MLM or multi-level marketing scheme. I'm not going to say it's definitely a scam, but as someone who does a lot of fraud investigation, in my opinion, it certainly raises a lot of red flags. Now, Richard has said that their intention was never really to make money on this. In fact, he said they lost millions of dollars. He said they were not motivated by money, that he and John had wanted to help people. From what he said, it seemed like he and John had been disgusted by what the crypto culture had become, about people driving Lamborghinis and all this conspicuous consumption. He said they wanted to give people in developing nations the chance to acquire some crypto. Going in depth into that company would be way beyond the scope of this podcast, but it's unclear exactly how much money they walked away from in that deal. What was really going on with John's net worth? Again, in a case like this, it makes sense to follow the money. It's not clear how deeply the police have looked into John's finances, or if, and I don't mean this as an insult at all, if they would even know how, if they would have the expertise to look into crypto accounts. This stuff is complicated, and fraud is not something that the police have a good handle on in a lot of these cases. But from the way that this case has been unfolding, it does seem that the police were skeptical of Richard. Richard admitted this openly. He said that the Benton County Sheriff's Office wasn't really sharing information with him. Benton County, Arkansas, was in charge of the investigation because John's body had been found there. According to public record, Richard has also been married and divorced. He divorced his first wife back in 2000. He has since remarried to a woman named Valeria. She has one of her jobs listed as being involved with his crypto company, Onfo. It's not clear what happened to any funds that were run through this business. Whatever is going on there, only one person, Richard, would seem to have any of the answers. He also revealed he had been set up to be his brother's executor. And later in an interview with this reporter, Elizabeth Van Meter, who has done a lot of investigating in this case, Richard dropped a bombshell. He said police had showed up at his house with a search warrant.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're a smoker looking for an alternative to traditional tobacco, you might feel uncertain at the thought of changing things up. Maybe you're ready to make a switch, but don't know where to start. Maybe you've tried vaping, but it wasn't your thing. Maybe you've heard of smokeless nicotine products, but aren't familiar with the options. Meet Zyn, America's number one nicotine pouch. Zyn nicotine pouches deliver nicotine satisfaction anywhere, anytime. Which means Zyn pairs well with you, your personality, your schedule, and your spontaneity. Zyn fits easily into your bag, pocket, and into your life because it's smoke-free, hands-free, and hassle-free. So the only person who will know you have a Zyn pouch in is you. Zyn is a satisfying tobacco alternative that puts you in control of your nicotine experience, which means Zyn pairs well with you. Visit Zyn.com or head to your local convenience store today to find your Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
In summer of 2023, police served a warrant on Richard Forsythe. He told Elizabeth Van Meter that police had told him they believed he knew more than he said he did. Richard completely denied in this interview that he had anything to do with his brother's death or disappearance in any way. He said he doesn't know why police seem to be focusing in on him. He said that he thinks maybe it's because they don't have any other leads. He said he has confidence in law enforcement and he's trying to let them go through their process of elimination. He actually said John was killed from a 40-millimeter bullet that was fired from a Glock. And he said, "I own a Glock that fires a 40-millimeter gun." However, Richard claimed he was completely forthcoming with police. He said he told them about his gun early on in the investigation. He said he offered to let him search his property and that he had been completely cooperative. Richard told Elizabeth Van Meter, quote, "I was eager to let them cross that off their list," end quote. He also told her he took a lie detector test. And he said police told him he did not pass that lie detector test. He said police told him they believed that he had studied how to deceive the lie test and that he'd somehow cheated. Yet Richard said that he still had confidence in law enforcement. And he's talked about his theories. He told the news station KOLR, quote, "At this point, it looks like he was abducted and killed and thrown into a lake. Just looking at it from my point of view, that's what it seems like," end quote. It's not clear what the rest of John's family thinks. Most of them have been pretty silent for the last few months. Richard said in that interview with Ozarks Unsolved that he's not really in contact with his brother's children, with that part of the family. He said there are no issues there. The truth is, we don't know what's going on in the background, either with the family or with the police investigation. I did check court records, and I saw there was an update in John's divorce case filings, the ones that were closed shortly before he disappeared. In September of 2023, John's ex-wife's attorney filed a motion claiming that there were some potential assets that they believed had not been disclosed in the divorce, including an insurance policy and some of John's business interest. So according to court documents, the attorney was claiming that John held interests in companies, including some of the ones we've mentioned before, AmbiCash LLC, AmbiCard LLC, something called Asset Management Group LLC, Allotin, and Onfo. So apparently the ex-wife had been told that none of these companies had any assets in them, that they had no value, but she said she had learned that at least some of these entities did hold assets. So the judge ruled that they could have some time to present additional evidence. Then, in February 2024, the judge ruled the original judgment of divorce should be reinstated in full. So there was no change based on any of those alleged assets. The only change was that John's ex-wife was awarded a 2013 Jeep Wrangler. Elizabeth Van Meter, the reporter who's covered the case extensively, has apparently left her job for another news channel. One of the last things she reported was that the authorities in Benton County are not releasing the results of John's autopsy or toxicology until the investigation is complete. She posted on Facebook, quote, "I have learned that John was filling out paperwork to transfer to Mercy Springfield ER. I don't know the reason, but the location would certainly be closer to his fiance," end quote. So it does seem like John was potentially going through some life changes. As someone who has investigated fraud and red collar crimes in the past, I would actually love to know what the financial situation and pressures were on other people close to John. Who could have gained from his death? Could John have been trying to hide money in some way? Could someone have helped him hide money and then perhaps not want to give it back? I believe that following that money and figuring out these circumstances could be the key to cracking this case wide open. In my opinion, if police really want to know what happened to John Forsythe, they're going to need to follow the money. I'm Katherine Townsend. This is Helen Gone, Murderline. Helen Gone, Murderline is a production of School of Humans and iHeart Podcasts. It's written and narrated by me, Katherine Townsend, and produced by Gabby Watts. Music contributed by Ben Salee. This episode was scored and mixed by Jesse Neiswanger. Executive producers are Virginia Prescott, Brandon Barr, and Elsie Crowley. If you have a case you'd like me and my team to look into, you can reach out to us at our Helen Gone Murder line at 678-744-6145. That's 678-744-6145.
School of Humans.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.